We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2010. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300. Esther is an odd story. It is mostly history. It's an interesting story from Jewish history. But some have noted that it is largely, at least the biblical text, is largely absent of any explicit reference to God. We're going to talk about Esther with Deaconess Pam Nielsen for the remainder of this hour. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm very well, and how are you?
I'm just great. It's just a few days till we're all feasting, and this is a good lesson to talk about this Sunday after the children have feasted. So make some connections to what we study in this book of Esther.
I mean, Esther has it all by way of an interesting story. It's got intrigue, and it's got people plotting against one another. It's got all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But some have noted that it doesn't have any explicit reference to God. Is that right?
That's true. It doesn't reference God, and unlike some of the other Old Testament texts that we have been studying, where the deeds of God, the deeds of old, his saving actions for his people have been recounted and recalled and those kinds of things, we don't see any of that in Esther. And yet, this is a very important story and a very significant one for our salvation, and it's why we teach it. We there are parallels here, a foreshadowing, if you will, a Savior figure that foreshadows what Christ does ultimately on the cross. But this story, very significant, because had things been let to happen as the evil people in the story wanted, we would have lost the line to the Savior, the human line, to the Son of God. And this is all, again, part of God's plan of salvation, worked from the beginning, from before the beginning, but promised in the garden and carried out through all these amazing stories in the Old Testament, true happenings into the New Testament, and ultimately completed for us on the cross and with the resurrection of Christ on Easter morning.
It's not a simple story, so tell us, as you would to children in a Sunday school room, this story in the simplest way.
Wow. Well, and this is one, Sunday school teachers, you got to read this through. It's 9 chapters. You can't read them all, and you don't want to read them all. There are parts of this story that, you know, really are for adults only. But the gist of the story is that there is a king, and he is a great king. He's reigning over the lands from India to Ethiopia. He's got 127 provinces, all-powerful. And that's significant, too, as we pointed out in some other stories about where the things happen and the ability that gives the message of God's greatness to spread in much greater ways. So great king, great things going on, and the king has a big feast, a big party. It goes on for a very long time, and this is the part you kind of want to edit. But the king gets drunk, as do most everyone else, because for 7 days they can drink as they want, and it is a party. And he calls his beautiful wife Vashti out, wants to display her. He's proud of her. She refuses, and the king doesn't like that, and she's suddenly no longer the queen. And so a new queen needs to be chosen, and in that choosing, a number of women are presented to the king, one of them being a young woman, a young virgin, Esther, who was a Jewess. She was from the children of Israel. She had been adopted. She was without parents and adopted by, I think it was her uncle Mordecai, who raised her and cared for her, and he took her as his own daughter, And so when this order went out, he thought this was a good opportunity that perhaps Esther, this beautiful young woman, could become part of the king's court and perhaps become the queen. And so he encouraged her to apply, or however that happened in those days. And so she did that, and at his advice, she did not reveal that she was a Jew or where her people were from. And she went through all the preparations that happened in order for her to be presented to the king. And the king did indeed choose Esther and so loved her, it says, you know, that he made her queen and gave her great honor and possessions and things and made her quite great in the land. Esther, or then, as all this is going on, Mordecai, who loves Esther like a daughter, he's keeping an eye from a distance out for his girl and watching and listening, and in that he uncovers a plot against the king by two of his eunuchs. And so he sees this as a bad thing. He tells Esther, and she shares with the king what Mordecai has heard, and she tells him Mordecai heard this, and the king then takes care of these people. They're hanged. He puts another man in charge, Haman, and Haman is promoted from the king's ranks, and he decides that Mordecai is no good because Mordecai does not bow down to the king, and he brings this to the attention of the king and points out that Mordecai and all his people, the Jews, are not following the rules that everyone else follows, are not bowing down to the king and doing those things, and gets the king to allow him to plot against the Jews, all of them. And then there is a casting of lots to determine. Haman wants to determine what day would be best to carry out what he's been allowed to do, to basically exterminate, eliminate the Jewish people amongst them. And that casting of lots, in the Hebrew, is called Pur, P-U-R, and from that we get the Jewish festival that the Jewish people celebrate still today, the festival of Purim, where they remember this story and God's saving.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will take us through the rest of the story of Esther as we teach a Sunday school lesson with her here in the first hour of Issues, Etc. This Monday afternoon, November the 23rd. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum. It forms the basis of our weekly conversations with Pam. It's called Growing in Christ. You can find a link to Growing in Christ at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology. The new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc. The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking Esther in the middle of the story. Actually, haven't really gotten to the exciting part yet, but so far a plot against the Jews by Mordecai. And as often happens when God is directing human affairs, those who plot evil end up, well, it sometimes ends up boomeranging on them. God has a way of exacting the kind of justice he finds fit in situations like this. Continue the story where you left off, Pam.
Sure. Haman has this plot. He casts the lots, and based on the casting of lots, he determines that the 13th day of the month of Adar, which is perhaps our maybe February or March, that time of year, that they will plunder and destroy the Jews. And that he convinces the king to let him do this. He pays him 10,000 talents, so he pays for this destroying of the Jews. There's a little echo there, I think, of Holy Week and some of the events. And the king signs it with his signet ring, and we've talked about this in the past few weeks. What law is decreed by the king in these days cannot be undone. So it's a done deal. He can wipe out the Jews. Well, then Mordecai hears about this, and he tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth and ashes, as do all the Jews. Their fate is sealed. They're sure. And they are in great mourning. Then Esther finds out, and she sends clothes to Mordecai, and she calls for one of the king's eunuchs and tries to find out what has happened from Mordecai. Why are the Jews doing this? And he tells her the whole story, and then she wrestles with, what should I do? Here I am the queen, but I myself am a Jew. This law applies to her. If it is carried out, she will die. And Mordecai counsels her and tells her, you know, that perhaps she has been chosen, and that's why she is in this place in this time, for such a time as this, he says. And he also points out to her, really in words of gospel, that God will take care of his people, whether she does it or not, in essence. And Esther considers all of this and fasts and prays and thinks, and then she says, if I perish, I perish. I am going to stand up to this. And so she determines to tell the king. She prepares a banquet for him and this evil Haman. And the king says, what do you want? What do you want? She says, give me one more day. Let us have another banquet and come to that, and then I will tell you. And so she's really enticing him. And so the next day, she tells the king exactly what has been plotted and who has plotted it and made it very clear. And so the king is enraged and wants to give Esther exactly what she asked for. And, well, actually, I'm skipping a very important part. On that night, the king sleeps fitfully. He can't sleep. God prevents that. And in his hours awake, he determines to read the book of records of his nation. And there he reads the record of Mordecai saving him from the evil plotters. So when this is pointed out, he wants to honor Mordecai, and so that clashes with what Esther has told him, that Mordecai and all the Jews should be killed. And the king, not being able to go back on his law, allows the Jews, the day before, the opportunity to slay all those that would be against them. And they end up slaying their enemies and being victorious and not being eliminated from the face of the earth. And this is all by God's hand, using Esther to bring this about. And in essence, she, through God's hand, saves the Jews. And then finally, the Jews destroy their enemies, and then they make sure that they never forget this day that God allowed them to survive, and they create this feast of Purim, and that continues today amongst the Jews.
Is this, with about a minute here before we talk about what comes up next next time, is this a foreshadowing of, I mean, you've mentioned this in several facets of the mm-hmm. story. Is this intended, you think, in the Old Testament as a foreshadowing of the persecution that Christ would suffer on our behalf? Ultimately, in some way, a foreshadowing of the plot against him and then his ultimate vindication in his resurrection.
Absolutely. And I think this is something particularly in the middle and upper grades you can pick apart with the kids and open up those stories from Luke, the Holy Week accounts, and the kids are familiar with that, and back and forth, what does this connect to? What does this remind you of? There's betrayal, there's plotting, there's paying, there's money involved, and people are being really condemned to die, and people are being saved. And let the kids do that. The younger kids, you simply teach the story straight up and let them know that this was God's work to save his people, not just these people, but through these Jews would come the Savior Jesus. And so it was important that this happened, that Jesus could come years later as a human from this family, from the Jews, to save us from our sins. So, you know, you have to know your age and what to teach, but teach the story and point them to Christ.
Next time, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, that's a great thing. We're moving into Advent, and we're going to be looking at the birth of John. I think the foretelling of his birth with the first Sunday of Advent, and that starts winter quarter in the Growing in Christ Sunday School material.
So into the New Testament.
That's right. We're out of the Old Testament, and that really ends Growing in Christ with Old Testament stories. We have over 4 years, Pastor, worked from Genesis through Esther and covered all the major stories in the Old Testament and pointed children to Christ in those.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. It forms a basis of our weekly conversations with Pam. You'll find it at our website, issuesetc.org. You can even get free samples if you call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed Thanksgiving, you and all of you Sunday school teachers out there.
Dr. James Hitchcock will join us in the second hour of the program from St. Louis University. We have been hearing all day reports that Congressman Patrick Kennedy has been banned from the Sacrament of Holy Communion because of his pro-abortion views. We'll find out what's going on there. This Bishop Tobin is rather open about it. He says, well, since 2007, he's been warning Congressman Kennedy about his views about going against the teachings of the church and what the consequences might be. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us a little later in the second hour of the program. We'll spend some time talking about Third Bishop of Rome, Clement of Rome. And then Dr. Paul Grimm will join us. We're going to study the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, as the old year of the church stops, comes to an end with the end of time. And the new one begins on this Sunday with Advent. and the remembrance of Christ's coming in the flesh and his coming at the last day. We'll study that hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. It is an odd little story, isn't it, to think that there's an Old Testament Bible story that manages to get from the very beginning to the very end without any explicit mention of God. And part of us must stop and say, well, here's a really good example of how you must read Scripture in the context of Scripture. You must let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because if we were simply to go in, as so many do, to a story like this and try and pull out some moral, well, there'd hardly be a moral to take from it. It's a story about a lot of intrigue, a lot of deceit. Esther's not honest about who she is, and there's all sorts of plotting on both sides. It's a tough one to get a moral from. And when it doesn't even mention God, you say, well, how in the world could we teach anything? This is why understanding the Old Testament and the New Testament in light of Christ is so helpful to those who study not only this book, but all the books of the Bible. Christ is the key to understanding these things. So even with a book that, although it certainly has God moving in the background, there's no doubt about that, but with no explicit mention of the divinity in Esther, when we understand that the Old Testament is there to testify of Jesus Christ, then we can read this story and understand it for exactly what it is. It is one of the family stories of the Messiah who was sent in due time, in the fullness of time, through this people that God preserved, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, into human flesh for our salvation. This is a story that testifies of Christ. It even remarkably foreshadows his own betrayal, his own trial, those who accused him. It is there all over the place. Even in a book like Esther, Jesus Christ crucified for us sinners. When we come back, we'll talk about Congressman Patrick Kennedy and the communion rail in the Roman Catholic Church. Dr. James Hitchcock will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.